All right, 2 Peter chapter 1 again today, 2 Peter 1, and we'll be looking at part 2 of our series we're doing from this chapter. I've entitled this The Path to the Promise. The promise comes at the end of our passage here, and in the meantime, there's a pathway that we can choose to be on as believers, and God wants us on this path, but it's a path. It takes time. It's step by step. There's no quick fixes. There's no get rich quick. There's no shortcut to the end. It's not, what is it, chutes and ladders, where you land on the wrong thing. You can go way, 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 way back, or you can get super lucky and just go all the way to the end of the board and the game ends. That always stinks. That's not even worth playing that game. Somebody got lucky and landed. There's no luck in the Christian life. It's a pathway. It's step by step. It's day by day. And that's why a lot of people say, okay, I wanted something quicker. I wanted a shortcut. I wanted to get there easier. But that's not real life, nor is it the Christian life. It's a pathway. But it's not a pathway that's impossible. We have a companion with us on that path. And we also have God's word about how to step through that path on the way to a life that pleases him. We looked last time at the foundation, which was faith, and today we're going to look at the first character trait of seven that are in this passage, which is the character trait of virtue. I'd like to read the passage first in review, mention a couple things, and then we'll get into the issue today of adding virtue to our faith. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you, God, for this passage and what numerous truths that it holds for us. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I look at this this topic here today. Lord, I pray that it would be a help to those in here that are just desirous, Lord, of seeing these promises in their life. Lord, they want to be fruitful in their Christian walk. They don't want to walk around blind and short-sighted in their Christian life. Lord, it's the desire of all of us to please you, and I pray, God, that through this, truths of this word that you've given to us today, we might be more prepared for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time again, we talked about the foundation of this list of virtues, which is our faith. This is what the Lord has done for us. Verse 3 talks about God's divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, And along with this comes precious promises in verse 4. These are all described, according to verse 5, as our faith. Because in verse 5, the Bible says, add to our faith. So we thank the Lord for what he's done for us. We thank the Lord that he saved us from our sins. We thank the Lord that our home is in heaven, eternally with the Lord and not in eternal torment in hell. We thank the Lord that he's not only given us a future of faith and a future blessing, but he's provided blessings and promises and abundant life for us right now, not later. And so the Lord has provided a way for us to never fail. Verse 10. The Bible says, if you do these things, you shall never fail, never fall. These promises are for us right now. Verse 9 says, if we don't possess these character traits, we're blind and we're not going to see right. We're not going to see afar off. We're going to see through the eyes of the world. That's short-sightedness. We're going to see it through the eyes of our flesh or our feelings, which are very temporary and very short-sighted. We're going to see through the eyes of the devil. And he is all about the here and now. He's all about immediate gratification. He doesn't want people to see beyond their present situation and see the bigger picture. He traps us into the here and now. And so that, the Bible calls us, a person like that speaks of them as being blind. And so we don't want to fall. We don't want to fail. We don't want to forget that we were purged from our old sins. The devil wants you to fall. He wants you to fail. He wants you to forget that you were purged from your old sins. If he can do that, he has you off of God's path, and he has you blindly stumbling around, half-hearted, double-minded, through your Christian life in a state of constant sort of ups and downs and floundering, kind of like a ship whose sail has been dropped and they're getting tossed and driven around. No rudder, no control, no direction, no purpose. That's the devil's desire for every Christian. But there's a different way to live. There's a different path that is available for us, and it's laid out in this chapter. And so, hope to preach four more times this through the course of this school year and cover the rest of these, but today just one, and this is our first character trait after our foundation of faith, which is virtue. Look at verse 5, and beside all this, giving all diligence. Diligence is just simple. It's exertion. It is zeal. It is something done with haste. It is something done with intensity, okay? Giving, why? Because of how important the trait is. If something's important, we're going to hustle down to, we're going to hustle to get it done, all right? Maybe you're a little kid, and it was early Christmas morning. You hustled down the stairs. The way I lived in a ranch, we lived on one floor. Okay, you hustled down the hallway. Or, you know, maybe you were relegated to the basement because you, that's the type of room that you kept was worthy of staying in the basement. So you hustled up the stairs. Anyway, you're hustling to get to that tree. Why? Because something really important was waiting. This is really important. This character trait, virtue, and the rest that follow are really important. So Peter knew that. So he said, give diligence for these things. Get the zeal fired up. Get fervent about this. Why? Because it's so important. It's so necessary. And without it, it can just sort of pass by and we're mired in mediocrity as we lose the ability and the privilege and the opportunity that comes from being on God's path to these promises. So bring the diligence in your Christian life. That's for all of this. That's for all of these traits. But add to your faith, verse 5 says, virtue. You might have remembered last time, I don't expect you to. When people would say that, you might have remembered last time I spoke, and my first thought was, I wish I did. I meant to. One day I will have the character to remember one thing you said last time. So now that you've got that thought out of your mind, confess that, forsake that sin. You may remember last time we talked about a farm, and God's provision for us, for our Christian life, is indeed like a farm. Okay, a farm full of seeds, full of equipment that runs. Not all farms are. Full of equipment that runs. Full of storage barns and lots and lots and lots of acreage. What a great opportunity that farm is. But it's just equipment and seeds and acres without one very important event taking place. Without the farmer getting out of bed in the morning and putting on his work clothes and going outside in maybe the cold, maybe the hot, maybe the rain. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter because the farm has to be worked, has to be tended to. So here your life is. You got saved and God gave you a spiritual farm. It's yours. It's all yours. And you can do with it all that your character allows you to do with it. And one day, you and I will stand before the Lord with the results of our spiritual farm. You gave me 5 acres or 5 talents, and here I've worked, and here's 5 more. Lord, those are yours. You gave me 2. My farm wasn't as big as somebody else's, but I was diligent with those 2, and I doubled. Well, you only gave me 1, and so I didn't do anything with it. In fact, those that walked by looked by, and they saw this field, and the fence was broken down, and the thorns had grown over, and ooh, that's right. Proverbs called that the field of the slothful man. So I don't really have anything to give to you, but thank you for saving me. Here's the one thing you gave me, which is salvation. That's about all I have. It's your farm. It's my farm. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of this flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, he that rolls up his sleeves for the spiritual work, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What a great warning, but what a great promise. What a great opportunity. So here's the farm. It's your faith. And the Lord gives us 7 ways to work the farm. 7 ways, 7 steps, 7 character traits to the path on which we will never fail, on which we will be fruitful and not barren, as the Bible says. So virtue, this farm bursting with potential for profit and plenty. Let's get down to work on this. The word virtue, what does it mean? What does the word virtue mean? The word virtue is used 5 times in the Bible. The Greek word for it. It's used 3 times in this chapter. It's used in verse 3. It's used twice in verse 5. It's also used in Philippians 4:8. Let's turn there, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and see the 4th time that the word virtue is used. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So here the word virtue means excellence. It means making a choice that's right, choosing excellence over something that is not. So here this excellence shows up in the way that we think on these things. It's the choice of excellence. The word virtue is often understood to mean excellence. Add to your faith this commitment to excellence. Now, what is the excellence the opposite of? Mediocrity. And guess what? It takes zero diligence to be mediocre. It takes zero effort to be mediocre. Mediocre is just that. It's your natural level. And there's a big danger with staying just neutral in the Christian life, because we never really just stay in neutral. Okay? There's someone out there that wants to get us away from neutral and going back the other way and on the wrong path. So you're sitting in neutral, you're a sitting duck. So the Bible here talks about excellence, virtue, excellence. So excellence, what is excellence? Well, what is an excellent sword? Sword that looks shiny, sword that has a kind of a couple designs in the handle. No, an excellent sword is a sword that cuts good. What is an excellent warrior? Is an excellent warrior the guy that has the latest gear? I mean, he has the Under Armour combat boots. And man, look at them. Those are light. They're only like 5 ounces, yet they can deflect a 50 caliber round. I'm not sure how they do it, but that's technology. That warrior's got those. Must be excellent. No, that's not an excellent warrior. What's an excellent warrior? An excellent warrior is one who's brave and courageous in the middle of the battle, not someone who's geared up. The battle tests whether a warrior's excellent or not. An excellent boat. What is an excellent boat? A boat that's excellent is a boat that floats, does its job. Not one who's got the nicest paint job or the snappiest name on the back of it. It's a boat that does what it's built and made to do. It's fulfilling its purpose. So our excellence, our virtue, is measured by to what extent are we fulfilling the purpose for which we were created.